This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. In many Cincinnati neighborhoods, nonprofit organizations called community development corporations work to represent residents as they engage with local government and developers to bring housing, commercial spaces, and other economic development opportunities. And as part of our series, Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project, we ask, how well do these groups represent their communities? And how much say do they have in the changes happening in their neighborhoods? Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss these questions are Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director Samantha Reeves. Samantha, welcome to our program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, or NEST, Executive Director Sarah Thomas. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks so much for inviting us today.
We also have Homebase Cincinnati Executive Director Alina Cunningham. Alina, thanks for coming on.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
And Ohio CDC Association Executive Director Nate Kaufman. Nate, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having us, Michael.
Questions, comments, you too can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email your questions to talk@wvxu.org. Nate, let's start with you. And I want to note to listeners, we might be using the acronym CDC throughout this segment. And while it has applied to another organization that has been on our minds and our tongues a lot over the past year, for today's segment, we are talking about community development corporations. So, Nate, what is the what and what is the why of CDCs at the local level?
Thank you for that public service announcement for community development corporations. So, CDCs, nonprofit organizations that are predominantly place-based in Cincinnati, we're talking about neighborhoods, and they work in various ways to uplift and revitalize the neighborhood, and this is important for the purpose of this conversation, in concert with the residents. It's a model of engagement and empowerment. No one CDC is the same. Some initiatives may include developing affordable housing, economic development, such as small business and commercial corridors, ensuring local food access. In the end, what we're talking about is creating opportunity and improving the quality of life in neighborhoods that may have witnessed decades of disinvestment. And CDCs are there to work with the residents to uplift and to create a better community for all residents.
How are CDCs typically funded, Nate?
It depends on the organization, but it's anywhere from philanthropy to support from local residents and businesses to local, state, and federal grants.
So
all over the board.
What's the difference between a CDC and just a booster organization, for example, like a chamber of commerce or a neighborhood or community business council?
I would say, first off would be that it is a place-based movement. That place does matter. And that we're talking about, uplifting communities that, typically are low income, low wealth, many times minority communities that have been disenfranchised over many years. And it's working together in a collaborative sense to do better for all.
Let's turn now to Alina Cunningham, Executive Director of Homebase Cincinnati, which is an organization that provides support for CDCs across greater Cincinnati. Alina, I'm wondering, when we think about the type of work that CDCs engage in across the city in their specific neighborhoods, why are they needed when you think, well, there is a local government, right? There's a municipal government, there's a county government. Why are CDCs needed in these communities?
Yeah, Michael, absolutely. Great question. The CDCs are needed because they're helping to fill those gaps. I think a lot of our CDCs are bridges between, our local governments, the community councils, residents, right? So it's that connector piece. And, here lately, when I take a look at the work that our CDCs are doing, let's talk about food access. We're on today with Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation, and as we all know, that community lost a grocery store. And so part of their identity at that CDC has now been to help with food access. Let's talk about sharing of information. As we've been dealing with COVID, our CDCs have been absolutely critical to sharing community information or sharing where you can find a vaccination or, you know, PPE, that protective equipment. Let's talk about, gosh, let's say affordable housing. You know, many of our CDCs are leading the way with affordable housing developments. You know, had it not been for some of their work, we wouldn't see some of those units. Let's talk about economic development. A lot of our CDCs are working directly with their neighborhood business districts. You know, there were so many that helped their neighborhood businesses during COVID, whether it was rewriting a lease to extend out a period of time for a small business owner, helping those business owners apply even for the paycheck protection programs. So, you know, our CDCs are just so critical into filling those gaps between government and other entities and being there for the residents in their communities.
What type of skills are necessary for a CDC as an organization to be successful? You're talking about navigating local governments, engaging with their own community. What type of skills should these folks have?
So I think, you know, when you look at the skill sets, let's start with having a strong and diverse board of directors who are able to help carry out a mission and vision for their specific neighborhoods, right? So that looks like having strategic planners and thinkers, community organizers, folks who are well-versed in fundraising, those who truly care about their communities, who have that passion for their neighborhood. I think those are just some of the core skill sets that have to be in place. And just knowing that this work every day is different, is challenging. You know, we typically don't see results overnight. So having folks who are committed to the organization and to the community, I think those are just some of those skill sets that are needed.
We are joined today by two directors of local CDCs, Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director Samantha Reeves, and Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, or NEST, Executive Director Sarah Thomas. Let's turn to Samantha now. We heard Walnut Hills referenced just moments ago by Alina in reference to the loss of the Kroger store there. Can you give us a little bit of a brief story about how the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation helped or is helping the community respond to its food situation?
Yeah, definitely. Just to talk about that site, I think it's a great example of the role that CDCs can play in neighborhoods. You know, we can do things that no one else would do, like the private market. No way they'd step in and pay top dollar for an old grocery store. But we were able to kind of swoop in and protect that asset for the neighborhood. So we, you know, took the risk. We're the risk takers. You know, we have to be tenacious and resilient and adaptable. And we saw an opportunity to protect this neighborhood asset and kind of took the lead role there. And then from there, our role has been, you know, twofold. One, working on that site itself to see if we can bring new development to that site. And then on the other side is the food access work, of course. You know, we worked really hard to build out our seven garden agricultural network and having a lot of different options. You know, each one is different, so neighbors can engage in different ways, whether it's a foraging forest or we have an orchard or you can get, you know, your own plot, as well as working with food producers and, you know, local stores, corner stores, seeing how we can rebuild that food system in a more innovative way. For example, working with Free Store Food Bank and the Healthy Harvest Mobile Market to not only have residents participate in their weekly market, which we hold in the former Kroger parking lot, but also we're working to expand that initiative and take orders directly to our different affordable housing developments across the neighborhood.
When you say that the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation was able to swoop in on that site, do you mean that you acquired it?
We did. We did acquire that site, and we held it for quite some time, took a big hit on holding costs, but that's what we're here for. And actually, the really exciting news in the last year is we were finally able to acquire the land underneath it. You know, often grocery stores come in with a ground lease. So instead of owning the land and the building, so we just bought the building and now we were finally able to acquire the land. So once you have those two pieces together, we can kind of collapse the parcels and actually now go vertical with our developments.
Where does your money come from?
Lots of different places. Like I said, you know, I think Nate and Alina have both alluded to that. You have to be really creative with these different financing packages, not only for the individual projects, but also for operating costs. So definitely having some operating grants on the local level from philanthropy, as well as federal funds that get passed through from the city down to organizations like Homebase that distribute it to neighborhoods. And then, you know, you fill in your little gaps with things like fundraising. We do a lot of different grants that fund some of our individual projects, like our gardens. We'll sometimes get grants for the individual garden. And then for development projects, yeah, you're working with funders and co-developers and state entities to try to leverage those bigger dollars. For example, there are two projects that just got funded in Walnut Hills at the state level using low-income housing tax credits. We call that LIHTC. So there's 92 new units coming to Walnut Hills of affordable housing, and the gap funding is financed at the state level with those tax credits.
Sarah Thomas is executive director of Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, also known as NEST. Sarah, I asked earlier of our panel, what's the difference between a CDC and something like a civic booster organization, a business association? Can you talk a little bit about how your organization interacts with any of those that might be based in your neighborhood?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think my first answer to your question is that every CDC is a little bit different. And I find personally that that comes from each neighborhood organization trying to respond in the best way possible to the needs of their community. So for instance, NEST focuses on property development. We focus heavily on the creation of affordable housing and revitalization of our business district. There are other CDCs that do property development alongside food access and social services. You know, it can really vary, but I think that when you start examining how each neighborhood has set up its CDC and how those CDCs carry themselves forward, then you're able to look at how they partner with other organizations. So for some real-time examples, you know, NEST has a great working relationship with the Northside Business Association, and they've both been present in Northside for a long time. The NBA does a lot of beautification work, and they manage events. Northside's famous rock and roll carnival for the 4th of July. But they're an all-volunteer board, so they don't have the same staff and time capacity that NEST does to do something like a full redevelopment of a commercial district building. And so we've collaborated on projects before, just like NEST and Northside Community Council have worked together before. We've done things like form neighborhood communication committees to help the communication kind of be to ensure that it's being done correctly and making its way out to all Northsiders when an outside development is presenting itself to Northside. We've collaborated with the NBA on events. We are actually collaborating with them on a physical development in the business district right now in the lower block of Hamilton Avenue. And then, you know, NEST also collaborates with private developers. The project funding mechanism that Samantha mentioned, LIHTC, as we call it, the low-income housing tax credits. NEST has won those for an affordable housing project that we are partnered with a private developer, Penrose, on. So I think CDCs are really nimble, and we can leverage ourselves in a lot of different ways because we have to, as some other panelists have already alluded to, we need all the help and all the funding we can get. But partnerships are just as important as the funding.
So you're able to build relationships with other organizations in your corner of town. What about working with the city government itself?
Yeah, I mean, CDCs interact with the city constantly. We talk with the city about what's called the operating support grant. That's the money that gets funneled through Homebase and down to each individual CDC. We work with them all year long on our neighborhood business district improvement projects. That's a city-funded grant program for business districts. The NEST pride and joy right now is our project John Arthur Flats, which is a 57-unit affordable senior housing development with LGBTQ services. That's going up. That's going to actually break ground in just about a month here. We've been working directly with the city on that for almost 3 years. We acquired that parcel with a pass-through community development block grant. That's a forgivable loan that comes down from the federal government. And then we selected Penrose as a co-developer. We kept the city apprised of our plans that entire time. We've worked with them to apply for home funding to help what's called our capital stack to make sure we have all the funds necessary to build the development. And we stay in close contact with them through all of our projects, really, from large stuff all the way down to small little neighborhood business district things.
So it sounds Sarah, like the city does rely on CDCs as well to help execute efforts to make a more inviting public realm and to create more opportunities for folks either to start businesses or to find a place to live. Are there difficulties in the relationship between CDCs and City Hall?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, this is something that people that follow Nest have probably heard me say before, and certainly would probably hear it from Homebase or any other CDCs, especially during city budget season, that we all like to say that arguably CDCs and the neighborhood funding that we get are the best return on investment that the city of Cincinnati has. When you go around and talk to neighborhoods, many themes that are the same across the board will show up in what a neighborhood needs and wants. And those are things like affordable housing, home ownership, pedestrian safety, traffic calming, food access. You know, these are all things that the city does prioritize. You'll see it show up when members of council are talking about city priorities. You'll hear about it in city budget sessions. You'll hear about it in the scope of CDCs. But I think a lot of times the city, there's so much going on with this city, and it can be such a machine, so to speak, of doing so many things at once that they can lose sight of individual projects or smaller scale goals. And it's critical that the city funds neighborhoods to see that huge ROI, where we are better able to accomplish the goals that are set by our own communities than anyone else. And so I think, you know, COVID and the ongoing pandemic has certainly hurt everyone. The city, unfortunately, had to furlough staff. I mean, there's a lot of collateral damage financially, time-wise, et cetera. So when the city gets slowed down on legal contracts or they're dealing with a crisis, you know, that affects everyone that works with them. And CDCs are certainly within that realm. You know, I think we all deeply appreciate the support that we get from the city, because a lot of these projects wouldn't be possible without them. But what I would say is that I think it's important for the city to continue thinking bigger and realize, really recognize the opportunity that the more power and the more funding they give to neighborhoods to steer their own path, the better neighborhoods are going to achieve their goals, which in turn achieves a city goal overall.
So we've established what CDCs are in the various communities, how they operate, and what their goals are. We're going to explore how they go about ensuring that they're representing the wishes of neighborhood residents just ahead. A little bit later on this program, we'll take a look at the months-old local food rescue organization, which has distributed 500,000 pounds of food so far in its very young history. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our conversation about community development corporations here in Cincinnati and their roles and responsibilities. We're joined today by Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director Samantha Reeves, Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, or NEST, Executive Director Sarah Thomas, and Homebase Cincinnati Executive Director Alina Cunningham, as well as Ohio CDC Association Executive Director Nate Kaufman. We're going to turn now to how these organizations work to represent the full population of the neighborhood as best they can. We'll go back to Nate now. This must be something that CDCs wonder how to accomplish successfully. Of course, they want to bring developments and business opportunities to town, but it seems like it would be more important to ensure that you're representing the wishes of as much of the neighborhood as possible. What's the best practice in doing so?
That's, you know, that's certainly the ethos of community development and this engagement and empowerment. And so many organizations, you know, work directly with residents to get them more involved and engaged civically. And I think it's really important to pan out and note that, you know, when you look at Cincinnati in relative to Ohio and the Midwest, the infrastructure that has been built over, say, the last 50 years of CDCs in Cincinnati is something that does not exist in most cities. It does not exist in the city where I sit right now, Columbus. It's on par with what's happening in Cleveland, but it's something that Cincinnati should be quite proud of, should look to support intentionally and nurture. As Sarah mentioned, the return on investment is outstanding, and just something that Cincinnatians should be proud of, their CDC system.
Alina Cunningham is Executive Director of Homebase Cincinnati. I'll ask you the same question there. What are some of the best practices for CDCs to enact to ensure that they are representing the community that they're assigned to serve?
Yeah, great question. I think when I look at our CDCs and how they are engaging and reaching out to residents, it's been different. You know, we have some neighborhoods where we have a lot of folks that are able to use online platforms. They're able to jump into a Zoom meeting and talk to.
Have we disconnected from Alina? We can come back to her. So I will come back to Alina. If you can hear us, I think we just got a Zoom problem there on our connection. It looks like you're still there, and we'll just reconnect with you. But let me very quickly turn to our other guest.
To look at,
oh, there she is. I'm sorry,
you know, Alina. Our neighborhoods and say, how can we best reach our residents? So again, a lot of that engagement is picking up the phone, talking to neighbors, walking around, boots on the ground, knocking on a door, you know, actual engagement opportunities, talking to your schools, talking to the businesses. You know, we have to communicate, right? So we hear it a lot, but communication really is key in how we reach our neighbors.
And thank you for that, Alina. And I apologize that we had a bit of a technical difficulty in the middle of your response there, but I think we got the gist of it and appreciate you offering those thoughts to us. Again, we're also joined today by Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Executive Director Samantha Reeves and Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, or NEST, Executive Director Sarah Thomas. Sarah, let me ask you directly, both Walnut Hills and Northside, both diverse neighborhoods socially and economically, ethnically, let's talk about how you go about ensuring that, you know, when you're working towards a goal, that it does encompass as much of the neighborhood's goals and values as possible.
Absolutely. So a lot of neighborhoods have what's called a neighborhood plan. And for instance, Northside, we did our first neighborhood land use plan in 2006. That was adopted by the city of Cincinnati. It was updated again in 2014. So that's a huge undertaking. It's a collaborative process of all the neighborhood organizations with a lot of public, resident, business owner, stakeholder engagement and involvement. And then we solidify those neighborhood plans. And so to answer your question at its most basic level, you know, NEST takes a look at a neighborhood land use plan when we're doing physical development, and we talk about what goals we need to meet, what areas we can target. And we juggle that with looking broadly. We get feedback from residents and stakeholders. We work with other neighborhood organizations. And we say, here's a problem that we're hearing about, or here's a goal that people keep telling us they want to happen for Northside. How can we go after those things and really attain those goals while still staying in a neighborhood plan? And I think personally, just from my own point of view, I think the most fragile part of that is how quickly neighborhoods can change. You know, Northside, when NEST started in 2005, our sole focus was boosting home ownership in Northside. And people that are familiar with the housing market and the economy in Northside know that in the last recent years, especially probably the last 3 to 5, housing prices have skyrocketed here. So we're not solely focusing on homeownership, we're focusing on affordable homeownership. And we've created new layers to our plans, like down payment assistance, soft second mortgage programs, home buyer subsidy programs, and we're also targeting affordable rental unit creation now. So you have to always maintain that view of your goals and know what you're really fighting for in your neighborhood. But I think you also have to be dynamic enough to evolve quickly with the problems you face as things arise, whether that's a neighborhood changing over time or specific things like budget issues from the pandemic. You know, CDCs, I think, take a lot of curveballs because developments especially can be difficult, but you have to just maintain your long-term vision in the real time, in the now.
Samantha, can you give us some examples from Walnut Hills?
Yeah, I would echo what Sarah said about kind of having your neighborhood plan and that being your roadmap, and as well as just continuing those many, many touch points with our residents. You know, we work super closely with the Walnut Hills Area Council, as well as the Walnut Hills Business Group. They have a wide variety of community committees that you, that our residents come on to, like the planning committee or the safety committee or housing resources. And so we're trying to attend as many of those meetings as possible to make sure we're getting a lot of face time with residents, and then working, like I said, very closely with the area council president, so that, you know, we're making sure our plan, our roadmap is still aligned with current neighborhood priorities. And, you know, in building trust with residents and checking in with residents, it's so important not only to have that transparency and build that trust so they can understand what we're working on, but the neighborhood also looks to us to influence, you know, different developers that are coming to the neighborhood. One thing we've worked to make happen in the neighborhood is have developers, when they're coming to make different presentations, explain rents. You know, the residents just want to see a rent chart. You know, a lot of, we talk about percent AMI and things like that, but, you know, now every single developer that comes has a chart laying out the different number of units that they have and their different rents. So, you know, it wouldn't have been explained that way unless we kind of facilitated that communication. So again, not only being just transparent and communicative with residents, but also making sure those other partners, whether it be the city or other developers or the port coming to the neighborhood, can also communicate in a way that ensures the residents get all the info they need.
Samantha Reeves is the executive director of the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation. Sarah Thomas is the Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation executive director. Alina Cunningham is executive director of Homebase Cincinnati. And Nate Kaufman is the executive director of Ohio CDC Association. My thanks today to Samantha, Sarah, Alina, and Nate for the time you gave us. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks a lot.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.